Listen up, real estate investors, entrepreneurs, and agents. You're in the right place. Unlocking the secrets to real estate investing and entrepreneurship. Welcome to the Titanium Vault, hosted by RJ Bates III. Here's RJ.
Hey guys, welcome to the Titanium Vault. I'm your host, RJ Bates, and today I'm sitting down with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Pace Morby. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother? Thanks for having me. I grew my beard out just for you. This is the longest I've ever had my beard grow.
I almost said something before we got started. I was about to say, it's looking damn sexy this morning.
Bro, it takes like a good 2 weeks to get through the itchy phase, but now It's like kind of nice where it's like real hair instead of whiskers. And I'm like, what does RJ do with his hair? Like, do you oil it at night? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, there's oils, there's combs, there's balms, there's all kind. It's like full on. It's worse than being a woman. I mean, this is hard work,
dude. It is. Like, even at this length, I'm like running into issues. So, are you like shampooing and conditioning it, or is it just like regular soap?
Oh yeah, no. It's there's shampoo, there's conditioner, there's everything. I have like a full-on budget for my beard. So,
dude, I love it.
So for those of the people that don't know who you are, very quickly, just give a brief rundown of who Pace Morby is.
Pace Morby, I am first and foremost a real estate investor. And inside of that bucket, I do a lot of wholesale. We're in five different markets. But primarily, people know me as the creative finance guy. I just created an ebook called The 25 Exit Strategies Your Mommy Didn't Tell You About.
Nice.
And I just am trying to educate people on all these ways that not only can you get deals done on wholesale, but how you can actually acquire properties with no money out of pocket. Dude, when I first started, I would look back at those comments when people were like, oh yeah, we bought this property for no money. I was like, you're so full of shit. There's no way. And so it's fun to be able to like pull up real addresses and pull up, you know, settlement statements and say, look how I bought this deal. Look how it was no money, no credentials, no credit, all that kind of stuff. And I became that guy a couple of years ago because out of necessity, and I'd be happy to tell you the story in a second, but that's who I am. I'm the guy that is trying to normalize the conversation around creative finance so that everybody can understand it, not just people with gray hair on their head, you know?
Right. And we're going to go through a lot of topics here in the next half hour. But one of the things I wanted to touch base on is you and your buddy, Jamil Damji. Y'all have some of the greatest marketing and ads of all time. And I'm going to be full transparent. Like, we just started our education program here at Titanium. And we are totally using you guys as like the baseline for marketing. And I go to like sub2.com. I look at your website. And because of that, you immediately retarget me with Facebook ads, right? You just came out with a Facebook ad that I thought was quite possibly one of the greatest ads of all time, where you were literally showing addresses that you own. And you're like, people say this is fake. Go look these up. I own these addresses. I have to ask, do you come up with those yourself, or is there somebody on your team that's coming up with these great concepts?
I come up with everything on my own. We've got like 20 in the pipeline that have already been filmed. You know, it's stuff like anything that you're just thinking about. I was just on a conversation with, do you know who Eric Sage is, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. So I was on a long phone call with Eric when you and I were texting about an hour ago, and you ever get on these conversations with people and you feel like you leave it like powered up, almost like a superhero, like, oh, like kind of like Pac-Man going through his maze and you eat the big bubble and you feel powered up, like, oh my gosh, whatever. So like, I came up with that feeling, and I go, okay, I'm going to harness this feeling and I'm going to go put it into an ad. And so I sat down for 5 minutes right before this podcast and I wrote out an ad based on me being a superhero, not a superhero, but me being a character in a video game. And every time I learn a new real estate strategy, I get powered up and powered up and powered up until I become this like super badass. And then the challenge is, how do you do that in under a minute?
Right.
Right. So yeah, all that stuff is our own. I think the one that you're referencing is me sitting at a table and my video guy, Bobby. Actually, I think you've met Bobby here in person in Phoenix. Bobby has been with us so long that he actually came up with the question that spurred on that idea. So we were sitting down at a table and he goes, what would you tell people that thought like this was fake? And I was like, I'd show them the freaking addresses and tell them to pull it up.
Right.
And he goes, okay, well, why don't you do that for me right now? And then we created an ad and it took 3 minutes, one shot. And I screen recorded so you could like see what I was doing on my phone.
Right.
And that is honestly my favorite ad, even though there's all these funny ones, like with my daughter and other things that are kind of cool. And Jamil's are unbelievable. Like the Blue Genie.
Yeah.
The ones I think resonate the most are the ones that are like, look at my address, dude. Like go on Zillow, see who the owner is. It's not my personal name. It's my LLC, but
right.
You can see that this is real. And it's the same thing with you and your 50-day challenge. It's like, nobody does that shit.
Right.
Right. Like you can stand in front of a Lambo, you can stand in front of a bank holding a check or do whatever. But when you actually get in the business and you're showing people like you did for those 50 days, that's like, holy crap, cuts through all the trash and right. People resonate. I think people resonate with that more than they do with anything else.
Yeah. And I bring it up because we just started the whole like creating our ads and running Facebook ads and things like that. And, through the first campaign, there was a gentleman that went on and it was a quick 30-second ad where I'm literally standing in front of one of the houses that we bought sub to and we flipped it. And I'm like, you know, real quick, I'm like, hey guys, see this house right here? We bought this subject to, use $0 out of our own pocket, made $40,000 net profit. I want to show you how to do this. Click the link below. And he goes on there and he's like, you're so full of shit. I want to see the HUDs. Give me the address, this and that. I literally saw the comment come across my phone and I was like, cool. Literally recorded myself and said, hey, this is RJ from Titanium Investments. I'm going to turn my phone around. Here's the address, 741 Silverbrook, Fort Worth, Texas. There you see, I bought it this date for this price. And here you go. 60 days later, I sold it for what looks to be $80,000 in profit, but there was holding costs and repair costs. And that's why I'm saying it was $40,000 net profit. You know, just essentially like a lot of us now that are getting in this space, we are real. Like we're actually doing this and we're wanting to help people. And so I'm so excited to have you on today.
Well, because, dude, let me touch on that real fast because I think there's a couple of things that are really important to note. Number one, why do people, I get asked this all the time when I'm on stage, like we're going, somebody's actually having us speak in Tampa this week, Jamil and I, specifically about how we come up with our ads and some of those things. And one of the most common questions is, why did you become a coach, or, you know, what spurred that idea on? Here's the answer. For the people that are real, we almost have no choice. And here's why. When you document what you're doing, because I'm not going out and creating content, right? You're not going out and creating content. What you're doing is you're documenting what you're already doing, which is real estate transactions. When you do that, you get absolutely slammed with people's questions of like, how do I get started? How do I get started? How do I get started? And it becomes a good 10% of your day answering people's questions on Instagram DMs, Facebook groups, or even YouTube comments, right? To the point where it's like, you know what? I need something so formal and lined out A to Z so that when somebody asks me a question, I go, start here at A, go all the way through Z, then ask me questions on live Zooms, which is what a mentorship is all about, right? Yeah. And that is why guys like you get into the business, is because you are doing it and you naturally get slammed with questions and you almost have no choice but to go create a coaching program, because the people who should have a coaching program are the ones that are actually doing the deals.
Absolutely.
And the last thing I'll say about it is I think that the ads are going to continue to be better and better along those lines of like, here's the address. Here's the settlement statement. Here's the actual recording number of the property. And that's what Jamil and I are trying to push forward. And I love that you're on that movement. You're at the very front end of that train, is because it will weed out all the people that are taking advantage of the newbies. There's a guy here in Phoenix that just released a YouTube video back in December. And he said, I did 400 real estate transactions last year in wholesale. And we made this much money. I'm like, how is it that nobody's heard of you? How is it that no title company, like, show us one house, show us one thing, shuts his YouTube channel down because everybody asked him to show HUDs?
Yep. It's funny because I've got the same type of guy here in DFW, claims he's nationwide. I've met him at local RIAs and things like that. And I've always had the same question. I'm nationwide. You've never come across a deal in Alaska or Hawaii that you didn't think, hey, RJ is the guy that buys there, and I'm in DFW. I don't know another guy that buys deals in Anchorage, Alaska. Let me reach out to RJ. Yet he claims he's done deals in Alaska and Hawaii. And I've always kind of been the same way. Like, really? Are you actually doing this? Yeah, dude.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, you look at guys like Brent Daniels, Jamil Damji, Steve Train, Carlos Reyes, Alex Sines, all these guys here in Phoenix, right? Cody Sperber, all these guys. The reason most of us know each other is that when we were coming up, guess what we were doing? We weren't tagging each other on Instagram, which we do now, but we were doing deals together. Like, if you're doing any semblance of deals in Phoenix, you know, even three deals a month, you're going to run into all these big players because people are gobbling up and co-wholesaling and fixing and flipping everybody else's deals. So you naturally become friends and you run into people. So when somebody says, I do 40 transactions a month, you're like, how in the F has nobody heard of you, dude? It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible.
Agreed. Agreed. So I want to ask you, because I think this is vital for people that are listening to this and they want to be the next Pace Morby, right? Or at least just on the real estate side of things, right? Maybe there's a lot of people don't care about the influencer space or things like that, but they love seeing you talk about getting deals with using $0 and things like that. How did you decide creative financing was the route you want to go down, becoming the sub two guy? How did that come about and why did that come about?
Great story. So it's an awesome story and it's very pertinent to what's going on in my life right now. I'll tell you the end real quick and I'll go back and backtrack. So Jamil and I just landed a TV show with A&E. We got a 6-year contract with A&E. And really cool. They hired the showrunner. Showrunner's moving here to Phoenix for 4 months to film our first season. Super excited. Yeah. I almost lost my ability to be on that TV show because of the story I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So I was a contractor for 10 years, right? I was the blue collar dude making good money. Back in 2013, so 8 years ago, I took home $1 million, right? So really good money. Took home $1 million after taxes, after everything. And my client was Open Door, OfferPad, Zillow. Like when these companies were just getting into the fix and flip space, nobody even knew who Open Door was. I was their first contractor. So I was making really great money. They were overpaying to make sure that the jobs were done right. And they were collecting data for about 2 years. Right. You know, we're going to spend $50,000 on this one. We're going to spend $500 on this one. We're going to see how it, like they did that for 2 years. And I was one of their guinea pigs, made great money. But one day, and I, you know, I was doing some wholesale stuff here and there. And I was buying rentals. I was doing a little bit of sub two and seller finance back at that point. But, what happened is they came to me, this is 2015. They came to me and they said, hey, we are going to take all of our renovation budgets from $50,000 down to $500,000 across the board.
Ooh.
Dude, I had 120 employees dedicated just to Open Door, right? Jeez. So tough spot, whatever. Welcome to business, not a big deal. So I pivoted. And this is what I did. I pivoted towards wholesalers and fix and flippers in this local market. I said, let me just do all your guys' fix and flip renovations. So I got in bed with a guy that we call Voldemort. Everybody in Phoenix knows him. He bankrupted multiple people over the last 20 years of his career, but I didn't know him, right? I get in bed with him. Next thing you know, I'm $100,000 in with him. I'm $200,000 in with him. I'm $350,000 in with him. And I hear through the grapevine that Jamil Damji, who I didn't know at the time, Jamil Damji was, you know, an ex-business affiliate of this guy. So I DM Jamil, I sit down with him. I go, dude, this guy owes me $350,000. I've been in business with him for a year. Essentially, it wasn't me just sinking money in. It was like, I do $100,000 in reno, he'd pay me $90,000. I do $85,000 in reno, he'd pay me $70,000, right? And it went like that for a year until we accumulated this big debt. Well, Jamil tells me, run as fast as you possibly can. We sit down, we have a salad at a grocery store. It was our first like hangout. And he says, run as fast as you can. This guy has filed bankruptcy just like 3-4 years ago. He's going to file bankruptcy again. And I'm telling you, he's running a Ponzi scheme on you, and there's probably 20 other people he owes money to. And I'm like, okay. So I don't run from him. Instead, I go to him and I go, hey, I know, you know, this is kind of how you operate. Let me help you get out of this situation so you can pay me back. 2 years later, he now owes me $800,000.
Oh, man.
Okay. So this is back in 2017. And at this point, you know, I'm wholesaling like crazy. I owned a Homevestor franchise. We were doing probably 10 deals a month, just wholesale, and then one or two sub two deals a month. And I was acquiring rentals and doing all that kind of stuff, and things were great, but I wasn't documenting my journey like I do now. So this is what happened. I was taking all my spare cash and pouring it in my construction business because this guy, I was trying to basically, I was digging myself so deep that I thought, okay, I'm going to dig a tunnel and I'm going to dig myself way out, right? So back in 2017, I go to this guy and I go, dude, you owe me so much effing money. Like, how do I help you out of this situation? He goes, I just need 200,000 more and I promise it, I'll get you all squared away. So I get my attorney, we get his attorney, we work out a settlement agreement to, so that when once he sells all these houses, he's going to pay me all this money back, right? So I go and I sell multiple sub twos and seller finance deals I had to get the equity out of the deals, to pour that money into his business. I then get to a point where I'm over $1 million in, like, this guy owes me $1 million. He puts all the houses up for sale. And as they start selling, this is what we find out. He has first, second, and private, like non-recorded thirds on every single property. And do you think I got my $1 million?
No.
I ended up getting about $75,000. So he ended up bankrupting. He filed bankruptcy. So I get a letter of bankruptcy the day after my daughter was born. This is now in like 2018. So 3 years ago. And I had 190 employees at the time.
Jeez.
So what did I do? I was building a 5,400 square foot custom home and I sold that for cash and I got a couple $100,000 out of that. And it wasn't finished. Somebody else came in and finished it. So I lost a shit ton of money selling it in that situation. And I had to start all over from scratch literally 36 months ago.
Jeez.
Okay. So this is what happened. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me in a lot of ways. And the reason why it was so great is because, dude, while I'm fixing and flipping and wholesaling and sub-twoing this whole entire time, I was taking all of my profits from those businesses and pouring it to this guy.
Right.
And working 80 hours a week with 200 employees and workman's comp and blah, 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 all the crap that being a contractor entails. So what I decided is I went to all my clients and I said, I'm getting out of the business. I'm going to just do real estate full time. Right. So I started talking about, this is where my real, real good documentation of my story started, was right there. As I said, I have no cash. This guy wiped me out. I had to sell my personal home and the majority of my portfolio. So I'm starting from square one. I'm going to show other people, because I'm so freaking pissed off at this guy, that revenge is the best, you know, or what is it? Success is the best revenge, right?
Right.
So I have to be successful. So I go, if I have no cash and this guy has obliterated my entire, you know, business and all this stuff, I'm going to go build a massive portfolio in 24 months or less of 100 properties. And I'm going to use none of my own money and I'm going to document the piss out of it. So I became the sub two guy by simply just talking about it every 4 minutes, like got another sub two, got another sub two, got another sub two, got another sub two. Then in my mind, I went to Jamil because him and I were traveling the country and doing a lot of stuff together, because we always co-wholesale together and do a lot of business.
Right.
And I tell Jamil, I go, you just watch. One day you and I are going to be on a Netflix show and I've been telling everybody this guy's name is Voldemort for the last couple of years, but I'm going to tell his real name on national TV and tell everybody how big of a piece of shit he is. I'm going to show the bankruptcy report and all that kind of stuff. So here's what happened. We've been just documenting, got a deal. Like last night, I have a podcast called Sunday Service. It's a free podcast I've been doing since the day that this happened.
Right.
And every week I go through a case study. Here's the address. Here's the numbers. Here's how I funded it. Here's how this, blah, blah, blah. Here's my cash flow, right? So what happens is A&E finds my YouTube channel. And they see a YouTube video of Jamil and I together fixing and flipping a property on a JV deal together. And they go, that's a TV show. We want that TV show. So A&E reaches out to me and I go, don't bullshit me on this. Cause I got a really cold dish to serve some douchebag here in Phoenix.
Right.
And they're like, no, we're not bullshitting you. And we went through the process And again, everything that I've done, which is why I love watching your stuff, is just a documentation of what I'm actually doing. I'm not fabricating and I'm not creating content. I'm simply getting people around me to document what I'm doing. And because we accumulated 130 sub two and seller finance properties in 24 months, that's how I very quickly became the sub two guy. The last thing is, in the process, I said, why are more people not doing this? And you know this, right?
Right.
You know the answer to this. Why are more people not doing this? Well, the reality is, and I'm not harping on these other guys, the reality is the creative finance guys that came well before me, really smart guys, really, really smart guys, they charge 50 grand for a mentorship. They charge 15 grand for a mentorship. They charge 25 grand for a mentorship. And everything they say is so far over everybody's heads that people's eyes just glaze over. And so I'm a great storyteller. What ultimately happened with me is that I just came up with amazing analogies and ways for other people to understand it. And when that happened, I started talking about it on social media. It was just like the perfect storm of people just going, I know that there's the Carlton Sheets of the world, you know, rest in peace. I know there's the Ron LeGrands, who's amazing, amazing, talented guy. I know there's all these other amazing, amazing guys, but there's something with Pace that resonates with me. And he's a family guy. And that's the other thing. That's the last part of it too, is like, what I love about you and your group and everybody on your team is that you guys attract, like Tom Kroll taught me this a couple of years ago. He said, your vibe will attract your tribe.
Yep.
And he's like, just document who you actually are, and the people who you want to follow will naturally follow you. But if you pretend to be like a Rolex wearing, Lambo driving, 25,000 square foot mansion, you know, living in type of guy, you're going to attract the wrong people to your audience. And last thing I'll say before we jump into the next segment is, ultimately, why did I want to document this? Originally, I wanted to document it to show Voldemort that I was a more powerful wizard than him. And then secondly, when I started documenting it, it's the same thing with you. You document what you're doing, everybody brings deals to you. Like, we just bought a 20 package seller finance deal in West Palm Beach, 2% interest, 5% carry, 30, you know, no balloon. And I'm going to cash flow on those on Airbnb, like $2,000, $3,000 a month net on each unit. Dude, that package alone will make me $60,000 to $90,000 a month in net cash flow.
Right.
That didn't come from my own marketing. Well, I shouldn't say that. It came from my marketing of my brand, but it didn't come from my own direct-to-seller marketing. So when you create a brand in real estate like you have and like I have, it adds another layer of ability to do more deals. And so that's the way to cut out the bullshit with people too, is like, are you actually doing deals with your audience? The answer is yes, like 100%. Please send me all your deals. Same thing with you. Like, I'm not nationwide. I don't want to buy nationwide. You are nationwide. So like, I know you're doing deals in Alaska. I think you just did a deal with one of my students in Alaska. Yep. You guys, he sent me a message like, RJ's the shit. Oh my gosh, RJ's the shit. So that's why you build a brand and you just document what you're doing. And ultimately, people resonate with you or they don't. And the people who resonate with you are your followers, right?
Absolutely. Couple of things about what you just said there. With your student, you sent that student to us because you knew that we do deals in that market. And how did you know that? Because of putting content out there, and then us, because I put content out there, we've been at the same events. We've been able to get to know each other and become friends. And that's only because of documenting our journey, right?
Right.
And then another thing about just being yourself and who you are, your vibe attracts your tribe. I learned that probably 4 years ago by the gentleman Gary Harper.
Oh yeah, he's awesome.
Love Gary and Susan. It was the first ever Investor Fuel that we went to. We used to be a part of the Investor Fuel Mastermind, and love Mike Cambright and his family there.
I was just texting Mike like 2 minutes before our show started.
Oh really? That's funny. And the first ever day that we went to Investor Fuel, I'm super nervous. This is our first ever mastermind. And I'm thinking, I need to be somebody else. Literally in my head, I'm thinking that. And so I went and I bought a new sports jacket. I got new shoes. I went and shaved my hair, didn't wear a hat to the event, showed up, Cassie and I gave our little 15-minute presentation, and Gary came and grabbed me as we were leaving, and he said, "Hey, RJ, come here." And he said, "Dude, you're amazing. I love you so much, man. It's so great to finally meet you." And he said, "But let me ask you a question. Where's RJ at?"
Oh,
And I said, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "This isn't RJ. RJ is the guy that wears the hoodie with the hat and the big beard. And he comes in and it's just no bullshit, just slaps you right in the face." He said, "Tomorrow, show up and be RJ." And I've never forgotten that moment. That was one of those moments entrepreneur that he has touched my life in multiple different ways like that, where he has just dropped amazing wisdom without even me asking for it, you know? And that was the moment where I realized, hey, I just need to embrace who I am. And it is part of why you and I love creating the content and connecting with other people, because we're just being ourselves. That's all we're doing. I love doing the 50-day challenge because I literally just got to sit there and help people for 8 hours a day while I was making money doing what I love, which is also helping motivated sellers get out of their tough situations.
Right.
It was amazing, you know? So anyways, I just wanted to share those moments. My next question is something that over the years of me getting to know you, something has just really stood out to me is who you have directly surrounded yourself with. I mean, your wife, your partner, Cody, your best friend, Jamil. I'm sure there's more that I don't even know that you've surrounded yourself with, but you also are kind of insane. You're the guy that's like, "I'm going to go live for 25 hours. I'm going to go travel the world with Jamil." How have you gotten the support from all of the people surrounding you, whether it's Cody, your wife, Jamil, your team? How do you constantly get the support of them, even though at times you put a heavy burden on them because of who paces? How do you manage that?
That's a great question. I don't think anybody's ever asked that question, which is really good. So, I'll give you a good example. So I own part of a company called constantclose.com, and it's a transaction coordination business. Has Rochelle Jarvis, have you ever worked with Rochelle Jarvis?
Yes.
Okay.
You cool. recommended
so,
her.
Yes. Okay, cool. So this is a couple of years ago. My wife just gave birth and she was my transaction coordinator. And I was like, this is not fair to my wife, right? She's got a little hellion of a daughter. And so we go out, we find another transaction coordinator, and now I've got my wife and the second coordinator, and my wife's actually coordinating and training this other girl. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need a third person. This is not fair. So I find Rochelle Jarvis, and I could just tell within like 3 or 4 minutes, and you know this too, like you can spot talent after talking to so many people after so much time. You go, this person has it. They get it, right? Like there's people that get it and there's people that don't. And it doesn't mean that the people that don't get it will never get it. They just haven't had enough experience yet. So I get on the phone with Rochelle, and just the way she was talking and the way we were vibing, like you could just tell she got it. So I said, "Rochelle, I want to change your life." And she's like, "Whoa, this is like not a job interview. This is like, holy moly, you're like asking me to marry you." I go, "Yes, 100%. I want you to come on board with me, and I promise you I'll change your life forever." And she's like, "Okay." She's like, "I've never heard this before, but sure." So I go to her and I go, "I'm going to create so many opportunities for you that as a transaction coordinator, what you've done for 15 years, you are going to feel so overwhelmed that the only thing you can do is no longer be a transaction coordinator." And she's like, "What do you mean?" I go, "I want you to now own a transaction coordinating business, and I want to be a part owner in it by me helping you fund it and build it up from all this whirlwind of opportunity that this chaos I create ultimately creates," right?
Right.
So I have this thought process, and you know, a lot of people look at REI, the acronym for real estate investing. I look at that same acronym and I go, R stands for replace. E stands for expenses. I stands for income. So replace your expenses with income. Right. And so I look at every little thing in my life. I go, oh, that's an expense. Transaction coordinating cost me this much money. How do I turn that into a business, prop somebody else up, and ultimately benefit from their rise? And so it's the same thing with everybody in my life where I go, how do I benefit from rising this person up rather than what most people do is they go, people kind of do this like Jabba the Hutt thing where they almost want to like control all their little humans around them and they want to control their rise. I just go, how do I benefit from it in a very small degree? I go out and I'm chaotic and I create this energy in this world that people follow and ultimately hire you for your services. And next thing you know, Rochelle was a transaction coordinator for 15 years. And within 18 months of knowing me, she has 4 employees and does 100 plus transactions a month.
Right.
So people will handle your chaos and your weirdness as long as it benefits them more than it benefits you. And so that's something I've just learned through the year. So like Cody, he's 25, 26 years old, probably making, I think Cody probably takes home $150,000 a month between multiple businesses that we own. And he is like, dude, you just keep going out and creating crap. You just go create stuff. I'll stay here and clean it all up. And so because it benefits him to do that, and I've set it up where it's a win-win-win, I can then harness exactly who I am, which, bro, you are actually probably a better version of it. Like you go do 50 days of a freaking 50-day challenge, 25 hours live ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's the cool thing is that it frees me up to go do more of that stuff when I prop other people up and I'm just a very small financial benefit inside of it so that we're all financially tied to each other so that we're all on the same page. So same thing with Jamil. Jamil and I have the same relationship. We are technically competitors, but we have things that we do together that financially benefits him. There's things that Jamil makes like 30 grand a month off of some things that him and I have done together just because I go create chaos and he helps me clean it up, right? Right. So for me, I just look at it. Now, same thing with title companies, right? So I own part of a title company. Now, what I did is I went to this title company who we were using and I said, I want to teach you guys all the creative finance stuff. I want to teach you mirror wraps. I want to teach you all the weird things that nobody knows about. I want to teach you all of this stuff so everybody in Arizona comes and uses you for all these types of transactions. And they go, we don't know if we can handle all of that. And I go, well, here's the thing. Make me a part owner. And I will also help hire people to support the team and I'll bring people experience to the table. So I can then go be chaotic. I can go do a YouTube video or do this or, you know, I'll never get to a 50-day challenge. That's like epic Alaska shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'll go do other things that now pour opportunity to these people. And as long as I prop them up to benefit from it financially, I think that's the recipe. So my next step in my evolution is now, I want to own 5 more title companies in states that I could direct a lot of traffic to. So like maybe Texas, maybe Florida, maybe Atlanta, get a closing attorney that I partner with and just direct a lot of traffic through being chaotic and documenting my journey. So the way I look at you is I'm like, that's probably what RJ is doing behind the scenes is not only a coaching program, which is a necessity at this point, because you learn through being really good in real estate, you learn that you have to have a coaching program at some point because there's got to be a better way to answer all these questions that are being thrown at you. So that's number one. Then number two, it's like, I already know RJ's working behind the scenes. Like you shared an idea with me last summer that, and I won't go into it because maybe you guys are still working on it, but I was like blown away at this idea.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's what RJ should be doing. Like your team's job is to take things off your plate so you can be that visionary because that's who you are, right? And as long as everybody financially benefits from it, then you basically have no limit on how powerful you can be.
Agreed. And we are still working on that idea to answer.
It's a big idea, dude. Like it's probably a 2-year project. It's huge.
It is. And that was the problem right there is we very quickly realized, hey, this is going to take some time to truly develop that idea. So
time and patience and, you know, then your idea is going to evolve as you figure things out. Yep. And it truly is probably one of the best ideas I've heard in that space. So I hope you guys get that thing done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my next question is that with you creating sub2.com, the actual program, your program that you have called Sub2, you are by far the person in this industry that I think everyone will say you overserve everyone, whether it be just the random follower on YouTube or IG, your students. Is that just ingrained in you, or was there a turning moment in your life where you said, I've got to be better, and the way that I become better is by over-serving people? Is that just who you are, or was there a turning moment in your life?
It's a disease, dude. It's a disease. So like, you know, there's actually the Voldemort relationship was a disease that I fell victim to. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm a Pisces. My wife thinks it's because I'm a Pisces, that like Pisces is a water sign. So what that means, and I'm not all into that stuff, but right. My wife is. So she explains these things. She's like, you want to be the water in everybody's life, which means you fill in all the gaps.
Right.
And if somebody has a problem, that problem becomes yours and you absorb all these people's issues, right? And that's what good educators like yourself and good people that are trying to help people, it's a disease that you can't control it, right? It's something that like, there's no cure for this. So it's better for me to lean into it and figure out how to harness it than it is for me to try and stop it. So a lot of times my wife would be like, dude, you like, there's times where I Uber home and my wife's like, where are all your cars? I'm like, well, this person needed my truck. This person needed my Prius and this person needed the such and such. And she's like, dude, you're the only dumbass that I would know that is Ubering home and you don't even have your own car because you're trying to help people. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Hold on. And I want to interrupt you real quick. For people that might think that he's exaggerating right now, I have been one of those people that has borrowed his truck. This is absolutely a fact. And dude, honestly, our time together prior to you doing that maybe had been like 48 minutes and 37 seconds.
Right.
And you called me and you're like, I heard you're coming to Phoenix. Do you need a car? And I'm like, no, I'm just going to rent one. And you're like, no, you're not. And I'm like, oh, okay. And you're like, I'm just going to let you borrow my truck because I've got my car and I don't need the truck. So you could just use it. Just Uber to Batch's office and it'll be there and you can use it as long as you need. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. You're always over delivering. And immediately, I mean, you became one of those kind of guys that you put yourself on the radar for me with moments like that, where I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Yeah. Like, who does this?
It's not, I don't know if it's a choice or what it is, but, like even this morning I was on the phone with Eric Sage and he was telling me about an issue he's going through in an evolution of a business he's starting. And I said, hey, I actually have a call today at 11:30 with somebody who's solving a similar issue in my business. Do you want to jump on that call? And he's like, dude, that call's got to be costing like $1,000. I go, yeah, it's like $1,500. And he's like, you would let me just sit on that call? I'm like, bro, we're homies. Like, why would I want you to have to go figure this out on your own?
Right.
He's like, but it doesn't benefit you. And I go, yeah, it does. Like, I love having these conversations with you. Like, I want to give and serve and all that kind of stuff. I feel blessed and lucky to be friends with all of you guys. So for me, I think I come from a family. I come from a family of 12 kids. So, you know, my dad, when I wanted to go on a date with a girl, I never got like, I had buddies that were their parents were like, here's a debit card. Here's your own cell phone. With me, it was like, go bag groceries to go take a girl on a date. Or my dad would say, go clean out the garage, go do this, go do that. And I'll give you $20. Right. So I just come from a place of like knowing that I have to provide something to get something in return. And if I want a relationship or I see somebody that I admire, I know I have to start first with value. I can't just say, hey man, let's go to coffee, because there's no value in, you know, getting coffee. So, I just go, hey, I know you're here not to see me. Here's truck. If it saves you $300 or $400 in rental fees and you have the comfort of an actual, you know, good vehicle, and you don't have to drop it off, wait in line, sign the stupid thing, blah, 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 take it. And it saves you the time and money, then great. Someday in the future, in 2 years, take me to dinner and we call ourselves, you know, even whatever. But with like my students, here's the thing. It's such a disease. We average. So check this out. This is the craziest thing. Every day. So even right now, it's 8:44 in the morning. At 5 a.m., I have a Zoom for 2 hours with my students that one of my team members runs. And all it is a role-playing Zoom for people on the East Coast. So it's 5 o'clock my time. It's 8 o'clock over there. So people that want to role play, people that want to practice their sales pitch, we do that for 2 hours in the morning at 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Arizona time. Then at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., which ends in 15 minutes, we now have a West Coast daily dial for the people on the West Coast that want the role playing. That's every day. Now, the other thing that we do is in the afternoon, we have something called Nick at Night. And you and I are basically the same age, so we remember Nick at Night.
Yep.
But we have this thing called Nick at Night where Nick, one of my acquisition guys, every night for 4 hours calls my student sellers for them every single night, Monday through Friday.
Wow.
That's the bare minimum. Then I provide 12 Zooms a week based on specials. Yeah, right. I bring in attorneys. I bring in like Toby Mathis from Anderson Business yep. Advisors. And I bring in all sorts of amazing people. And then like in those 12, it's probably two of those are like Zooms with special guests that most of these students would never have access to on their own. Then the other 10 Zooms are me underwriting deals, talking about specific exit strategies, deep diving on this, corporate structure, blah, 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 blah. All the things you need to know about running a business, not just sub two and seller finance and, you know, lease options and all that kind of stuff. Those things are great, but people have questions about how to run their LLC. So this is what happens. Let's say I'm doing a Zoom about a case study on subject two. One of my students will ask a question like, okay, should I do this in an LLC or should I do this in my personal name? Dude, that stresses me out to the point where I know that no way I can give them a 5-minute answer that will actually give them what they need. So what right. I do is the next day I do a dedicated Zoom to that one question.
Love it.
And so it takes stress off me to go, okay, you have been sufficiently answered in a 2-hour answer on a whiteboard and this, that, and the other of why you should not do it this way. You should do it that way. Because when I was coming up, that's the kind of question I needed. Now, it's a lot of work, but the reality is it's all recorded. So now when my students come through the program, every little question has a library that attaches to a 2-hour deep dive Zoom on one stinking question.
Right.
And so at some point, probably at year 3 in my program, I can slow down my Zooms down to like 3 or 4, and those are just Q&A. Because all the other questions have been hammered with a 2-hour answer deep dive.
Love it. Love it.
It's a disease, dude. It's crazy.
It is. It is. And I love the way that you handle it, man. It's absolutely incredible. We both spoke at Aaron Bevin's Superhuman Gala. And I said something on stage. And I just want you to know this. Our entire speech, not planned whatsoever. Me, Elijah, and Cassie got up there. We knew we had 30 minutes. There is zero plan for what we're going to talk about. We wanted it that way. We said full, like just whatever's on our heart based off of what we're seeing in the crowd. We just want to go up there and speak about it. And I said something on stage and I'll never forget your face when I said it. I said, I'm always competing. I compete with Pace Morby. And your look was kind of like, what are you talking about, RJ? And you've been so kind to talk about the 50-day challenge a couple of times during this interview. You were part of that inspiration. When you did your first live, which was 16 hours, correct?
Yeah.
You did that. I actually commented on your 16-hour live. I said, I'm going to do 24 hours live. And before I got around to doing it, you went and did 25 hours live. And I was like, well, there's no point doing 24 hours if he's done 25 hours. And I went out to Phoenix and I spent some time with Jesse. And I absolutely love Jesse Bro from Batch. He's one of my mentors. That's not a mentor. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Just because he loves me, he pours into my life. And I'll never forget because he was talking to me about being an affiliate for Batch. And he said, RJ, you have this influence. People will listen to you, but you're not doing anything with it. When are you going to do something with it? And, you know, I kind of gave him the, you know, I'm going to get around to it. Stop badgering me. and he used you as an example. And it was funny because my response to it was, is fine. I'm going to set the pace then.
Oh yeah.
This is how I've dropped it a couple of times. I'm like, I'm going to set the pace because he actually used that line. He says, pace is setting the pace. And so I was like, fine, then I'm going to set the pace. And then I thought to myself, I was like, how can I beat 25 hours? And I was like, 50 days in a row? It's pretty impressive.
Oh, it's insane.
I was like, I'll do that. I'll do that right there. And so you were part of the inspiration there. And I think the point of me bringing this up is that you do so many different things, from sub two, the education. Now you have a show on A&E. You're always coming up with new ideas. I freaking call you with a question. Next thing I know, like 8 days later, you've got a new segment on your YouTube channel called Better Call Pace.
Well, that that was actually your idea.
It was my idea, but you did it. Most people would have just laughed and said, oh, I'm already doing all of this. Why would I come up with a new segment? What drives you to do that? You kind of answered it the last, but not really. Like, you wake up at what, 3 a.m.?
Yeah, I was up at 3 a.m. this morning. Like, what I did this morning was, well, here, I'll answer the question, then I'll tell you what I do in the mornings. So what my purpose is, like what I'm trying to do, is I think of the things that I wish were available to me when I started, right? So like, I didn't understand exit strategies whatsoever when I started. I understood wholesale to a fix and flipper, wholesale to a fix and flipper, wholesale to a fix and flipper. And oh my gosh, I mean, look at like the Max Maxwells of the world and all these guys who have impacted millions of people's lives, helping them understand wholesale. And huge, even me, I remember watching Max Maxwell's a video of his 5 years ago that was like the top 12 tools that I use. And I was like writing down what tools he was using,
right,
and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is amazing, amazing. Just, I wish I could take a time machine back to the day I was watching his stuff and taking notes, right? Hugely impactful. But I still only knew that exit strategy. So I think, man, wouldn't it be cool if there was like an infographic that like went through step by step by step, almost like Candyland, explaining wholesale? And I was like, oh wait, there's probably multiple other infographics we could create. I'm going to create an ebook all about every exit strategy that I've ever used, how I bought the deal, what tools I used, da, 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 da. I'm going to make it so visually easy to understand that they don't even have to read a book. So people like me who hate reading, I'm an Audible guy, they can take that ebook and just go, all right, here's literally Candyland. Start here, step two, step three, step four. And it's like you going through this like infographic. So I create these things because I wish they were out when I started. And the way that I have the time and the energy to do them, that's my inspiration. But the way that I have the time and energy is because I have learned to never do things I'm not good at. I don't touch paperwork. Like, I went to at a buy appointment a couple of days ago, because I truly still love going on buy appointments. If there's ever a tricky situation that my team can't handle, creative finance, some like multiple people are on title, there's some probate thing, I'll jump involved in those deals. But I go to the appointment and I don't bring paperwork ever, right? Because I just go, I call Rochelle and I go, hey, Rochelle, send this guy the paperwork, walk him through, get him signed. I just have learned, what are the three things this week I never want to do ever again in my life? And I write them down. And I spend my whole week in the mornings from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock figuring out how to get those three things off my plate, right? And that's why I wake up early, is because now the rest of my day, my inbox is empty. My text messages have been replied to, everything, all my DMs have been replied to. I can start my day fresh and just go focus on the only things that I'm really, really good at, and then nothing else. And so for you, you call me up. I had the time to pick up the call, which is great. I had the time to take that idea, which was a freaking brilliant idea. You are a visionary, like to the utmost degree.
Yes.
And so it's our jobs as visionaries to take everything off our plate that doesn't allow us to be those, you know, super visionaries. And so I wish somebody taught me that in my 20s, because I was busy doing all the things, being involved in every little compartment. And I was actually the sand in the cog. Like, instead of me being the grease in the cog, I was the sand. I was jamming everything up. And now I just get out of my own way. What is Pace good at? And what it, and we've all heard this, but it is absolutely true. So I wake up at 3, sometimes like Sunday morning, even Sunday morning, people go, you wake up at 3 every single day. On Sunday morning, I woke up at 2:30. I drafted out the things I wanted to accomplish and I started working on them. As much as I don't want to work on them, I put on focus music or I put on an Audible or something like that. And I focus for 2 or 3 hours, turn my phone off. Usually 90% of the time my phone is off and I just create shit. And I'll go to my media team. I'll go in Slack. I'll just set little seeds all day long. Like, hey, I need this. Hey, I need this. Hey, I need this. Hey, I need this. And then when 7 o'clock in the morning hits, I'm done creating and I just go out and work the rest of the day. Next day, I create only in the mornings. And then I let my team work on it. But originally, dude, 2 years ago, it was like me doing everything. Right. But again, it's just 3 things a week that I never want to do ever again in my life is my main purpose of my life right now. What are the 3 things Pay should never do in his life ever again? And who is going to do them going forward? That's my main thing in early mornings.
Love it. Love it. So last thing before we wrap up, I know you're a busy guy and you need to go. I've probably kept you too long as is, but I keep getting asked this question since I decided I want to do education. Mm-hmm. I want to be the quote unquote guru. I get on these consultation calls and like you, I have decided I want to do the things in my business that give me energy and I know I should be doing, which one of those was, I am going to be the person that talks to our candidates and I want to as many as I possibly can. There's some that I can't do. Like we had 2 this morning I couldn't do because of our interview.
Right.
Right. So Cassie's taking care of those. But I have been asked repeatedly, should I do the Titanium Crucible or should I do Sub 2 or should I do Astro Flipping? I would say probably in the last month, I have been asked that 25 plus times. Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to address this because I don't know how you feel about that, but I am very passionate about the fact that the answer is, if you can only afford one, you should find the one that is directly going to impact you the quickest. But at the end of the day, that's like asking the question, RJ, should I read Profit First, Traction, or Extreme Ownership? Well, all of them is the answer. They all help you differently. And I am very passionate. I've told people, I'm like, I don't know all of Pace's program. I've not been a part of it, but I will say I know Pace and I know I've seen literally multiple posts inside your Facebook group where people have asked, I'm on the fence of whether or not I should sign up for Sub 2. What do y'all say? And there are hundreds of comments and there's not one negative one. So I've told them straight up, if you think Pace is the guy that's going to impact you the most today, then you should do it. I don't know how much Pace's program is, but if you can afford both, you should do it because you're going to have 2 guys that are not going to take your failure for an answer. That's a fact.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to kind of bring that to light here because I know some of the people that are listening to this might be torn on, hey, what should I do here? Your ultimate goal should be, my thoughts are, go sign up for one, make enough money so you can sign up for the second one. And you're going to have 2 guys. And same thing with Jamil. I love Jamil. I love Astro Flipping. And I've had people ask that. And I am very passionate about the fact that there's not one highly successful person that I know that says I have one coach or one mentor. Oh, they say yeah. I have multiple.
Yeah. I mean, think about getting a college degree, right?
Right.
You know, very similar to the project you guys are working on, actually. It's funny that that's the analogy I'm using. But think about right. getting a college degree. You can't do it by going to one professor.
Right.
Right. So you go to a professor who is specifically good at this or that or whatever. Now, we all, and the funny thing is we all hang out in the professor's lounge together and share notes and how to do this and blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't mean you can go and get a college degree in real estate by only going to one coach. In fact, myself, This is not bragging or anything like that, but myself, I probably will spend 50 grand this year just in coaching and masterminds, yep. right? Yep. And I know you're the same way. Like you're investing in yourself. I'm jumping into a multifamily one and I'm jumping into a tax, another one. I did a tax mentorship last year that was only 6 months long. I'm doing another tax mentorship this year as well. And for me, when people ask me, like I'll get people DM me in my Instagram. And they say, hey, should I sign up for Astro Flip or Sub 2? I go, sign up for Astro. And they're like, wait, that's not the answer I would expect. I go, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I'll be here in 6 months. Okay. I'll be here in a year. Right. I'll be here in 2 years. If you even have to question that, then sign up for the other one. So same thing for like, if people are talking to you, you should send them this recording. Sign up for RJ. Freaking sign up for RJ. I'll be here. I can be here. I can be in semester two, right? I can be here in semester three, semester four. Guys, we're here, right? Our main bulk of our money is not made from coaching. The main bulk of our money is made from doing deals. So go do, here's what I want you to do. Go do RJ's program, do multiple deals and sell me one of those deals so I can do something with you. I'm okay with them not signing up for my program. I think, like you said, you can't have one mentor. Bro, I want to collect mentors. I want to have like a freaking wall of all my mentors by the time I die, you know?
Yep. Dude, I went to dinner with Carlos Reyes the last time I was in Phoenix. Mind you, I know Carlos from 2016. He flew to Dallas and I took him to lunch so he could figure out and ask me questions on wholesaling. Now, Carlos is like the guru of gurus, right? Like he's the guy. Everyone goes to Momentum and All In Freedom and all these things, right? I go to dinner with Carlos. We're there for 4 hours. All he talked about were all of his mentors and coaches. Mm. I've got this guy for health and wellness. I've got this guy for that. I've got, and it just blew my mind because right there it opened up to this is why he is where he is today in comparison to where he was in 2016. He went and invested in himself so much that he literally doesn't know anything. He just knows the guy that has the answer for all of his problems.
Yeah, so, he's genius. I was just texting him 2 days ago. I'm going to be speaking at their event coming up here in May. And I was just texting him about like how impressive, you know, his rise to everything was. Cause he's one of my mentors. Carlos is one of my mentors, which is funny how that works out. Like you mentored him. He mentored me. This is back in 2017. So shortly after that whole thing, I paid them a good amount of money for 2 days of their time and it paid off 100x. Right.
Yep.
Still to this day, I text him like, yo, big brother. Like I look at him as a big brother. Right. And I look at you as a brother and I look at all these guys together. I kind of look at it as like the Avengers, which is the funny thing. It's like, you can't defeat Thanos without multiple different personalities and multiple different superpowers. Like we all have to assemble to defeat Thanos. Right. And so many people think they can just be the Hulk. No, dude, you need a whole ensemble.
So for people that think I might be making this up, I'm going to show this real quick. See if I can get this on camera. Is it going to focus? That, anyways, it wouldn't focus. That is literally Carlos texting me this Saturday, the picture of us. And I jokingly said the day I taught Carlos how to wholesale. And he said, the haters will say you're lying with the laugh emoji.
Oh, I love it.
I love those guys. And honestly, I know we need to wrap up, but I absolutely love all of you guys in Phoenix. I've said it so many times. You guys are an incredible, incredible community. I wish there was more communities like it in the real estate investing world. I'm honored to be friends with you guys. Pace, thank you so much for taking time. Any final words before we sign off?
No. I mean, if you guys have a deal to sell me, freaking sell me a deal. I'm just so you guys know, I'm buying sub two and seller finance deals in Atlanta, Florida, anywhere in Florida except for Miami. I don't want anything in Miami. Although if, I don't know if I got a crazy good deal in Miami, I would do it. There's so much weird stuff going on inside of Miami. I'm scared of it. DFW just bought a great Airbnb in DFW. Love that area. So any sub two seller finance in DFW, I'm all about it. Anything in Phoenix, obviously, not just sub two seller finance. I'll buy cash deals here and fix and flip. And then Vegas, I'm acquiring Airbnbs in Vegas as well. So if you guys have any sub two or seller finance stuff, let me know. Just DM me on Instagram. I'd love to do a deal with you.
Can we make titanium vault history? This is episode 160, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Okay. 160. I've never sold a guest a deal before on the podcast, but I just got two tenant occupied seller finance deals on Batch TV in Jacksonville, Florida.
Ooh.
Do you buy in Jacksonville?
I will buy in Jacksonville. Yeah.
Let's make this go down.
You're tenant occupied?
Tenant occupied. It's cash flowing for $1,650 a month between the two. And our monthly payments are going to be $850.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Sell me those.
Yes.
Yeah. Sell those to me. Let me
titanium vault history right here.
How long are the tenants in there? Could they be converted to Airbnb or there? You just got to stay as rentals.
I will have to check on that. I believe that they are under lease, but I think it's like we're in the middle of the year lease. So maybe like 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I bought a deal in Atlanta back in December of last year. So 3-4 months ago, I bought it for $1.3 million seller finance. I kept the occupants in there. It's an 8-bed, 5-bath house. I'm going to convert it to an Airbnb here when they move out on April 15th.
Right.
But I've been losing money on it for like the last 4 months, just waiting for the tenants to move out because my payment's higher than the tenants are paying in rent, which is fine, right? That's part of the doing the deal. Right. So, dude, yeah, I don't have a problem taking over tenants at all. Send me those deals. I would love to buy those.
Love it. Let's talk about it offline. That's podcast history for me right there. First time I've ever sold a guest a deal.
Thank you, bro.
I made money while doing a podcast. This makes all my partners happy.
Love it.
All right, Bass. Thank you so much. All right, guys. Hey, remember, we only accept 5-star reviews here. If you want to give us 3 or less, give it to somebody else. I only accept 5-star reviews.
Guys, honestly, the 5-star reviews really do a big benefit for podcasts. It's a huge deal. A lot of people don't realize how much time, energy, effort, scheduling, it costs money, takes time away from your other businesses to give people value. So if you're not giving a 5-star review, ask yourself, are you really that knucklehead that's going to take value from people and not leave a freaking review? Go, where do they go? iTunes or Spotify?
Well, you can't leave reviews on Spotify, unfortunately, but we're on both. So you need to leave it on iTunes. That's the most important place to leave it.
Guys, the best way to do it. So I did that, like even same thing, Wholesale Hotline. We need to get you on Wholesale Hotline, by the way.
Yes.
So Wholesale Hotline, just go to like same thing with Titanium, right? Go to Google, iTunes, blah, 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 and it's going to pop up. Click on it, leave a review. I timed it one time because people were like, oh, it takes too much time. I'm like, dude, it literally takes less than a minute and a half of your life, but you sat here for an hour and a half, right? So guys, while you're listening to these podcasts, take a minute and a half of your life and leave a freaking review.
Thank you, buddy. See you guys next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to the Titanium Vault with your host, RJ Bates III. For more info and to stay up to date, visit www.podcast.thetitaniumvault.com and on facebook.com/thetitaniumvault. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review, and we'll catch you next time on the Titanium Vault.